Your Humanities Half Hour is brought to you by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council.
Welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry. Last month in Guam was held the second annual Marianas History Conference, and a number of presentations were made there, including one by John Castro Jr. and Diego Kaipat called Guardians of Gani, Protecting Pagan for Future Generations. I'm pleased to welcome to our show today Mr. Kaipat, or Uncle Diego, as I call him. Uncle Diego, welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour.
Thank you for having me.
Your presentation is about Pagan. How did you come to be a part of this in Guam last month?
Well, I was on Pagan last month. I met up with John Castro, and he was talking to me about this Marianas History Conference in Guam. And he said he's presenting about Pagan, and he asked me if I would like to join him in his presentation in Guam. I said yeah while we were in Pagan, but I wasn't really thinking that he would really go through with it. So that's how I learn about this conference, and I left Pagan before he was done with what he was doing. Came back to Saipan, and then about a week after that, he called me up again and wanted to find out whether I'm still interested. So that's when I told him, okay, I will go with you if that's what you really want, and I'll try and present what my experience was living up on Pagan.
Now, you were actually born in Agrigan, I understand, and then when you were young, your family moved to Pagan, is that correct?
Yes.
What prompted you guys to move?
Typhoon hit Agrigan in the early 60s, and back then the main income was making copra, and all of the coconut trees on Agrigan were damaged, and my father couldn't make copra to make us buy what we need from the ship when it comes. So we decided that we moved to Pagan. It was not touched by the typhoon, so that's how we would end up on Pagan in 1963. The rest of my family were here on Saipan, and only me and my father were the ones on Agrigan that time, so we just packed our things, and the next ship that came, we moved to Pagan.
So you must have been working pretty hard with your dad if you were the only child with him there at that time, huh?
Yeah, let's learn how to pick up coconuts and help him, get the meat out and dry them for the ship for him to sell it when the ship comes.
Now, we mentioned that the name of the presentation was Guardians of Gani. For those that don't know, including myself, before I asked you, what is Gani?
What I learned from this conference is that the Gani is actually a name given during Spanish time by a priest. Their name after all the islands north of Saipan that ends with the words, the letters G-A-N. And that's how, after they've given them some Spanish names, they become known as Gani Islands.
Now, John presented on the more the further back history of the island, Spanish, German, Japanese times, and you presented on more modern times, 1964, and that's what we want to talk about today. But could you start off by taking us in our minds to Pagan right now? Some of us, most of the pictures I've seen of Pagan are only, you know, taken from a helicopter or taken from the horizon. Let's get up close. Feed our imaginations. What do we see when we're there? What is Pagan? What are you feeling when you get there?
For those who haven't, you know, been to Pagan or any of the northern islands, if you are up there, you feel so relieved, and you know, you have the sense of tranquility that you know, the place is quiet. You walk on the beach, and you know, there's no worry whether, you know, a truck or a dog will come by and hit you from behind. It's so serene. You feel that every breath you take, it's fresh of, you know, fresh air. You get into the water, it's so cool and refreshing. So, you know, you won't miss it. Encourage that people try and visit these islands to feel that experience, just like you have a feeling of a rebirth, you know, per se, especially for those who are there for the first time. That's that is one of the expressions they make. I feel that I'm reborn again as soon as they step on the beach and get into the water. So I think that's how everybody will have that experience.
Well, you've brought a beautiful piece of the islands to the studio with you today. You're wearing a spondylus necklace. And it's bright orange. The pendant is about 4 inches intact. It's an intact pendant. The pieces that go around the neck are, I would say, probably an inch, maybe to an inch and a half wide. So it's quite a statement of what is up there. What are some of the natural resources that might jump out at a person if they were to visit Pagan?
I'll start off with the beautiful black sand beach. That will be the first experience when you get off the boat. The crystal clear water, you can actually see yourself just looking into the water. And it has an abundance of plants, coconuts, mangoes, oranges, even pine trees that have grown. And you go into the jungle, you feel that sense of tranquility, being in a very peaceful place. If you like to go to the hot springs and get more refreshed, that's another welcome to Pagan, which has actually has two lakes, and the inner one has a lot of hot springs.
It sounds so inviting and welcoming. Is life up there hard? Take today, where we are today. I know, and we will talk a little bit about how life in Pagan has transpired, but if somebody wanted to live there today, would it be difficult?
It will be that individual's motivation and want that will make them feel that they can live up there. As you know, we don't have the luxury of having power or running water, but those are available. I mean, nowadays we have solar power, wind power, and water is also available. We have wells that we use at this time to assist us with our water needs, but then rainwater is our main for drinking. So if a person is really want to stay up there, then you know they can I believe they can do it, because we've lived up there for so long without all these power needs, and you know we made it. Had the volcano not erupted, I think a lot more people would be staying up there.
I understand there's also a lot of rich historical artifacts there. I was surprised to learn that there's remains of an ancient Chamorro village, or maybe more than one.
Actually, there's a lot more ancient artifacts up there. Almost all of the backside of the island, the eastern side, have all these lattice stones. Different from what we have here. And
how are they different?
What we have here are probably made of lime and
limestone. Hard,
yeah, but what we have up there is more of you can. It's like a mixture of clay and dirt.
Oh.
That it's sometimes very easy to carve. And they're perfectly shaped, you know. They're round, and those are that are rectangle. They're really just like somebody used a modern technology, a modern machine to carve them.
Yeah.
Not like here where sometimes you look at the lattice stone and there's a bit of chipped side or
unevenness.
There's an unevenness, but they're really. Shaped well, and also they use those basalt rocks, the round ones, those round ones that are their natural shape as well. They use them also for I guess their flooring or to map out where they're gonna build their house. And also has a lot of old Japanese buildings that were left behind after the war.
And you mentioned the volcano, and the volcano has played such an important role in the recent history of the island. When we come back, let's talk about how life was before the volcano erupted in 1981, and what has happened with the island, and more importantly, to the people from the island since then.
All right.
We'll be back after this break.
Hafa Day, this is Eulalia Villagomez of the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. Did you know that you can donate up to $5,000 to the Humanities Council through the CNMI Education Tax Credit Program? Donations from individuals and corporations qualify and can be used to offset your local wage and salary tax, BGRT, and earnings tax. Call our office at 235-4785 to see how you can support humanities programs in our community and obtain a tax credit for your donation. Thank you, and Sizus Masi.
Welcome back to Your Humanities Half Hour. We're speaking today with Diego L. Caipat, who spoke at the Mariners History Conference last month in Guam with John Castro Jr. on the presentation, Guardians of Gani, Protecting Pagan for Future Generations. Caipat was born in Agrigan but raised in Pagan. And you were there when let's put it this way. The volcano erupted in 1981, but what was life like before then? How many people were in Pagan? Did you have a school?
Yes. We have an elementary school. We also have a small dispensary. We have a church that was also built by the islanders, we were about in the 60s there were about close to 100 or residents staying in Pagan before the eruption.
And then what happened in 1981?
1981, I was here in Saipan. But before the eruption, I was the eruption happened in 1981. I was up in Pagan from June of 1880 to January 1881. I was up there actually as a medical officer, and then I was relieved by another staff from Dr. Torres that time, and it was going to be a rotating for us, you know, for medical to be the medical officer up there. It's going to be every 6 months we rotate. So that first rotation, that was the last, and I was here in Saipan when it erupted. But I was with the group that went up to rescue the islanders after the eruption.
And were there still about 100 people living there then?
No, most have moved back to Saipan. Some were here working, some were attending school, and there were about, I believe there were about 82 or that were there when it erupted.
So you were brought to Saipan, and you were not allowed to return to the island, is that correct?
After the eruption, yeah, it was restricted. Nobody can go back there. So the people stayed here, although they still want to go back. We're waiting for the clearance to go back, and that didn't happen.
If I recall, there was some housing also provided called Paganville. And it was in Garapan?
Yes. That was provided to, I think, 7 families. Those that have children were provided a house. The rest didn't get any. So yes, they did get housing for that 7 families.
So at this time when the families were advised they could not return to the island, there was still activity going on there.
Yes. In fact, there was a lot of meetings here on Saipan about mining the Pazalan on Pagan. And that was going to be a way for the islanders to go move back. You know, once somebody start mining, they will provide them housing to and be part of the workforce to mine the island. And that one didn't work out as well. There was one company out of Guam called Stone and Stone that did mine Pagan for about 6 months. He hired about 6 young guys to be up there and help with the mining.
Are there individuals that own land in Pagan, or is it just owned collectively by the government?
You know, all along I thought that those people who were up on not only Pagan, even Agrigan and Almagan, own those lands, because they've been, you know, there ever since. You know, their ancestors were there for a long time up to that time when the eruption occurred. But I guess when we changed our status to become U.S., that ownership of land changes, and it became government land, because you have to prove that you own land by providing, you know, documents. But you know, those people never did get the documents that they need to prove that those were their lands. But all along I thought, you know, you've been staying there for that long, it must be yours.
Well, that's interesting. That sounds like a whole nother topic.
Yes.
Trying to document your ownership or whether you have a right to land. Because normally my understanding is, you know, the Japanese would have a record, or even the Spanish, there might be some record. Definitely the Japanese. So that's interesting. You know, whenever you meet somebody, or whenever I meet somebody from the Northern Islands, Wow, they just keep talking about how they wish they could go back. What is the sentiment of the people that were evacuated from the island? You had mentioned that you yourself had come here before the eruption to seek employment. Others were coming for education. Is there still a population that would like to do you think it's feasible for a population to resettle Pagan?
Yes, not only Pagan, also Grigan and Almagan. With today's modern days, we have more the islands can be more access now than before. They have Pagan, there's airfield already that airplane lands on, and boats can also go up there, so it will be a lot easier now than I think than before, because we have a lot more means of transportation.
What is the current situation of resettlement? Has there been a formal request to do so? Has there been a response to that?
I know that there was a law passed in 2009 that I think 1650 that DPO give homestead to those who have lived up there on the island, but I'm not sure what's holding them back from giving out this homestead that is already a law.
You know, if there were a population living there and there were to be another eruption, it would be a major effort and expense to evacuate the people. What do you feel about that?
This is not the first time that it has erupted. I know that it erupted in 1925. I met someone who experienced that in 1925. Although they're no longer here, and this 1981 eruption, the same route of that these people took to escape from the volcano was the same route that those in 1925 took, and they weren't evacuated from that, and they just stayed there, and I believe that. Should it erupt again, that will be the same route that whoever is staying there will take, and they will be as safe as those that were there before. Yes, if an evacuation is going to be made, it's probably going to cost money, but I don't think that should be a hindrance for people to stay out there just because you need to evacuate them when the volcano is erupting. I mean, there's other ways that they can avoid that eruption. I don't think it's going to be as big as it was in 1981, but it's still going to be a safe place. That's how I feel. Yeah.
There are so many groups with so many aspirations for Pagan or desire for Pagan. You have those that want to live there or return to live there, those who want to mine there, those who want it for military purposes. What do you feel is the real value of Pagan to the Northern Marianas?
Pagan is sitting idle now. Since it erupted, had we been there after the eruption, it would have helped generate a lot of money for the whole CNMI. We've been sitting idle, and then there was an issue of dumping the waste from Japan, and then now the U.S. is trying to take the island, and you know that's how what is this valuable that island is to us to stay there and make sure that it you know develop as we want it to, not for somebody else to come and use it as a dumping site or a training site to bomb and damage it to the extent that nobody can live on it anymore.
Well, I know there's been a recent trip of there are, but it's usually quite small and quite expensive. People going up there, but there was a recent charter that I was invited to go on. If people are interested to see the island for themselves, to make their own decisions, or just to experience a part of the Northern Marianas, are you aware of any way that they, or any contact person, maybe the Northern Islands Mayor's Office, who could they contact if they were interested in such a thing?
Contact will be the Mayor's Office. Go through the office and they can assist you from there. I think they have a list of the vessels that go up there and even the aircraft and just stay tuned to announcements that whoever is going up there, and maybe ask if we can go with them. I'm sure that the group that went up there a few weeks ago had a good time while they're up there. Maybe you should check them also and see their experiences.
I already saw some good pictures on Facebook, which make me kind of regret that I couldn't go, but I want to thank you so much for making time to share your story. Really, it's just been your story that you've shared today. Any final thoughts before we go?
I still really want to go back to Pagan. And I'm inviting anybody that wants to go and stay up there to check the Mayor's Office and see how they can go up there. This is the time that we need to move before anything else happens. Let's all be one heart and save Pagan.
We've been speaking today with Diego Caipat, a presenter at the Marianas History Conference, along with John Castro Jr., on the topic Guardians of Gani, Protecting Pagan for Future Generations. Uncle Diego, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you, Catherine, and I hope our listeners are thinking about moving up north to reestablish our Gani Islands.
This has been Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry.
This program was supported by a We the People grant awarded to the Northern Marianas Humanities Council from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities or the Northern Marianas Humanities Council.